Well, you didn't think that you were going to get by without a Fred Craddock story today, did you? Fred Craddock's Sunday school teacher's name was Miss Emma. And that's what everybody called her when Fred was a boy. She taught Sunday school for as long as Fred could remember, and she was Fred's teacher for years. And Miss Emma was a strong believer in the Bible, the scriptures. Miss Emma gave all the kids their very first Bible. And inside the front cover, she signed it, "From your Sunday school teacher, Miss Emma Sloan." And below that, she had written, "May this book be a lamp for your feet and a light for your path." And Miss Emma urged her class to read their Bible every day. But Miss Emma did something else. Fred said, "Miss Emma taught us to carry the Bible around in our hearts and in our heads, so that we'd have it there when we need it." And every Sunday, she'd give them a verse to memorize. And she didn't try to explain the verse. She didn't try to interpret the verse or give some kind of long elementary exegesis of the verse. She just gave it to them and told them to hold it in their hearts. And they'd recite all of those verses by alphabet. A soft answer turns away wrath. B, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. C, come unto me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. D, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And on it went through the whole alphabet. And they didn't forget those verses. And Fred said he can't think of anything that has made such a powerful difference in his life as those words and those Bible stories. He said, "The Spirit of God brings them to my mind at the right time again and again and again." You know, I think there's a lot of us who have had a teacher like Emma Sloan who encouraged us to memorize a Bible verse every Sunday and to read the Bible all week long. And something about that teacher's nurturing goodness and grace-filled caring helped us to memorize those verses and recite them back to her the next Sunday. And then, do you remember this? Do you remember in our Sunday school classrooms the memory verse chart, where if you could recite your memory verse, you got a gold star each Sunday? You remember those? It may sound like a little thing, but it wasn't. Because some of those verses were hard. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Or, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them, and shall gently lead those who are with young. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land." I had the most problem with that one, if you know what I mean. But then there came time that we needed to memorize the 6 verses of the 23rd Psalm. And we said it again and again, Sunday after Sunday, until we knew it by heart. And I remember the Sunday my whole class stood before our teacher, Regina Farley, and said the 23rd Psalm together without her having to prompt us not one time. And when we finished, she was crying. There were tears coming down her face and smiling all at the same time. And then she hugged each one of us, every one of us, and she said, "Don't ever forget that. Never forget that. Someday it will make all the difference in the world to you." And since then, there have been times, sleepless nights, times of great struggle, or times of when I just needed to calm down and pray, that I've said it under my breath or in my mind. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You are with me. God is my shepherd, my guardian. God has been there on the darkest nights. God has been there even when I couldn't see Him. Even when I've wandered away like a lost sheep, God has been there. You see, that kind of thing can happen to any of us. It happens to all of us. I know it. We go through dark places, deep valleys, times of loss and times of uncertainty, times when we feel all alone and confused, not knowing which way to turn or what to do. And there are times when we feel helpless and weak and exposed and confused like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. That's what Isaiah said. And then centuries later, Paul said, "We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered." Helpless. Weak. Not able to make it on our own. Isn't that what sheep are like? The truth is, sheep need a shepherd. They need someone to guide them and protect them, someone to nourish them and sustain them, someone to lead them the right way, to tend their hurts and restore their wounds, to be near them in danger, to stand between them and all that would destroy them. You know, sometimes I've needed that. And I've got a real strong feeling that I'll need it again. I need a shepherd. I need a shepherd to revive my drooping spirit and my sagging faith, to bring essential peace to my heart and soul, to remind me that it isn't just me, that I'm not all alone. The battle that I'm trying to fight isn't mine to fight at all. The battle to fight belongs to the shepherd. I need someone like a shepherd to get me back to my feet when I fall, someone to relieve the hurts and cover me with healing grace and fill the empty places inside me. I need someone like that, someone I can depend on, someone I can trust. I need a shepherd. Do you mind if I mention James Taylor? I've always liked James Taylor. And I'm more than envious of James Taylor's guitar prowess. One of the best around. And in 1971, Carole King wrote a song, and they both recorded the song. You might know the song. It begins with the words, "When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing is going right." And it's like that sometimes, isn't it? It's just hard sometimes. Now, I've never really thought about preaching on a James Taylor tune, but there's another line in the song that says, "People can be so cold, they'll hurt you and desert you. They'll take your soul if you let them." The name of the song is "You've Got a Friend." But I want to ask you this morning, has anything like that ever happened to you? I know, me too. It happens. So they're right, James and Carol, we need a friend. We need a shepherd. Someone we can unconditionally trust. Someone who'll come running. Someone who'll be there. Someone we can call on no matter what. Who will be like a good shepherd who cares for every one of his sheep, big and small, weak and strong, wounded, hurt, lost, or wandering off on its own. Everyone. We need a shepherd. I've told you a lot of Tom Nolan, or a lot of Fred Craddock stories. And I don't have any Tony Campolo stories for you today. But there's a better storyteller that I know. He's like my own personal storyteller. He's a pastor. He's my close friend, Tom Nolan. And Tom Nolan says that he met the Good Shepherd when he was a little boy. Now, I need to tell you all something. Your children, your grandchildren, will learn and develop their faith at your need, by your side. They'll watch you, they'll listen to you, and they will see what your faith means to you. And when the time comes, they will be telling stories about my grandma, or my mom, or my dad. They'll be developing their own faith. That's an important thing I needed to tell you today. But Tom says he met the Good Shepherd when he was a little boy. And he didn't shake his hand or sit on his knee or hear his voice even. He met the shepherd all because of the 23rd Psalm. He heard it nearly every day because his grandmother, who must have been a beautiful saint, would say it when she had her prayer time every day. She would read from her Bible and pray for her church and pray for her neighbors and pray for all of her family, and then she would say the 23rd Psalm. And Tom says it was a little different when she said it because she turned that psalm into a personal prayer to the shepherd. "Lord, You are my shepherd. I shall not be in want. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside the still waters. You restore my soul." And her prayer would say, "Even though I walk through the dark valleys of death's shadow, I have nothing to fear, Lord. because you are there with me. And young Tom would ask her about the shepherd. Who is he, Grandma? So she would tell him all about the good shepherd, Jesus, who loves us so much that if we were lost, he would come searching for us. And he wouldn't give up until he found us and brought us back home. And she told him that Jesus, the shepherd, loved us so much that he even laid down his life for us on the cross. He could have stopped it, she'd say, but he did it for us. And if he loves you that much, she would say to her grandson, then he's someone you can trust. You can always count on him. Even if the whole world disappoints you, you can count on Jesus, the great shepherd. And you know what? I believe Tom's grandmother was right. I've been around the church my whole life. And I've heard so many people say the very same thing. He's always there, they'll say. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother or a sister. I can always count on him no matter what, or I don't know what I'd do if it wasn't for him. And the thing that gets me is that they've been through the dark valleys of death and despair. They've been wounded and hurt and forsaken at times. They've stood face to face with enemies that have tried to destroy them. Things like poverty and illness and the loss of their loved ones. They've lost houses and retirements, spouses and children. Some have lost jobs and savings and so much more. They are broken and scarred, and yet they stood firm and said to others, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, what more could I want? He is my strength, he is my hope, he is my light in the dark. He is my comfort. He is my joy." If it came from anyone else, you could dismiss it, I think. You could say, well, of course they'd say that. They've got it made. They don't know what it's like for all the rest of us here, but they know. They've been there. They know what it's like. And yet they cling to the shepherd. They hold on to Jesus. They follow this woodworker from a village halfway around the world, a man that was born in Bethlehem, a man who lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago, because they know him. They know the shepherd. And what was it John wrote in his gospel? The sheep follow the shepherd because the sheep know the shepherd's voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will not run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. You see, God invites us, calls us to know the voice of the shepherd, to know and follow the voice of the one who is more than guardian and guide and giver and gift. He calls us to follow the voice of Jesus, our friend and our brother, the one who is Savior and shepherd of all, Jesus, Emmanuel, the Word made flesh. God invites you to know the great shepherd, to follow Jesus, and know in your heart that following him makes all the difference in the world. There's an old story, maybe you've heard it. It's a true story. It's a true story in more ways than just one. A famous actor was the guest of big social gathering, a charity event or a fundraising dinner, I'm not sure. And as the people gathered around, they asked this famous actor to recite excerpts from some of the great works he had been a part of over the years of his career. I'm not sure who it was. It was Charlton Heston, or it may have been James Earl Jones with that amazing voice that's so rich and deep. You know, when James Earl Jones spoke, you just had to believe it. But anyway, the actor agreed to recite the lines from these great films and plays, and it was wonderful. He made it sound exactly the way you would think it would sound, and all with the proper tone and inflection, loud and full in some places, and quiet and reflected in others. It was just wonderful. And the crowd asked for more. And that's when an old man, an old pastor, who'd been waiting patiently to get the actor's attention, asked the actor to recite the 23rd Psalm. Well, the actor hesitated at first, and then he agreed to do it on one condition: that the pastor would return the favor and recite it afterward. And the pastor said that he would. Well, the actor recited the psalm, and it was brilliant, and it was eloquent, and people responded with their applause. They even gave him a standing ovation. And then the actor asked the old man to come forward and recite the same psalm, Psalm 23. And it wasn't anything like James Earl Jones or Charlton Heston. It was rather weak and a bit unsteady. And the pastor's voice broke here and there before he reached the end. But when the pastor finished reciting the 23rd Psalm, there was not a dry eye in the house. And finally, the actor broke the silence, and he simply said this: "Ladies and gentlemen, I know the psalm, but this pastor knows the shepherd." And that makes all the difference in the world. I believe that. I really do. Knowing the shepherd, knowing Jesus, makes all the difference in the world. It's made a difference for me, these many years. It's made a difference for me in these 39 years of ministry. It's made a difference in our 16 years together. And it will continue to make a huge difference in my life. And you know what? I believe it will make a difference for you. Know the shepherd. Listen for his voice. Follow Jesus. The Lord is our shepherd. And that's all we need. Amen.